Brent, how are we doing today?
Doing okay. We are past the Super Bowl, so I guess we're officially in, and also recruiting. So I think that means we're probably into college basketball, but we're not very far at all from spring practice going on in college football. So we're certainly excited about that, but always great to be on with you guys.
Absolutely. Hey, well, it is a pleasure to have you on. And of course, you know, as one season ends, I mean, the next one is right around the corner. Football is a year-round deal, as you mentioned, with the spring games, and then you got the combine and everything else that goes into the National Football League. Just real quick, your thoughts on the Rams getting the job done and beating the Bengals 23-20?
It was a good game. I think it helped people to the TV for most of the game. The ratings, I think, are going to be out probably tomorrow. So that should be interesting to see. But again, this thing, as it always does, comes down to who can win the line of scrimmage. The Rams won the line of scrimmage. And as much as we want to make 7-on-7 football a reality on all levels, if you can't block and tackle, you're only going to go so far.
Yep. And in the end, a really cool story for the Bengals to make it as far as they did with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and those guys, but come up a little bit short again to the Rams. But jumping into some college football news real quick, Luke Fickell was signed an extension today through 2028. Are you a little bit surprised by him staying at Cincinnati, given the likelihood that he probably got some sort of interest from some of these bigger schools, or are you not as surprised given Cincinnati is going to be making that move to the Big 12 here soon?
Well, I think a lot of this was probably almost routine, meaning the once you have the year that they did and going to the playoffs, you're going to have, I think, the impending raise and extension, and I think that's a part of what he has got, goes through 2028. He'll make $5 million per year. That will put him behind Brent Venables and Steve Sarkisian in the Big 12 salary. So, I mean, well-deserved all in all, but I think the other reality you've got there is it really makes you wonder at this point, is he waiting on the Ohio State job? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what he and where he wants to go. He'll have other offers, and he'll finally find one that really fits him, but this won't stop other schools from being very interested in hiring him, certainly even after next season.
Yeah, it's going to be something interesting to follow. I think if I remember correctly, when the Notre Dame job came open, this at least floated around. I saw that Luke Fickell would only leave Cincinnati to go to Ohio State or Notre Dame. And obviously, with Notre Dame, I don't even know if he was really in the running or not, but the players seemed to love Marcus Freeman, and I think that's why he ended up getting the job in the end. But one coach that was rumored to be out of a job is Brian Harsin at Auburn. Says he's going to be back. They will retain him. How awkward is this for Auburn? I mean, if you look at it from a recruiting standpoint, I find it may be difficult for Brian Harsin to go into a recruit's living room and talk to his parents and say, yeah, your kid is going to be, you know, treated properly, and also will be coached up, but also, you know, I will be a good parental figure when he's not around, you know, the home. I feel like it's going to be difficult for him to really sway recruits, and this is something that other teams can recruit against Auburn with.
Well, the real problem Harsin's going to have is when the mom or dad ask him, will you be around to the end of my son's eligibility, he will have no answer for that, or he'll have a typical recruiting answer for that. They never really found anything of note with the alleged affair or whatever they try to come up with in that situation. So that didn't hold any water. But the problem now for Harsin is to get a staff, is to somehow get 20-plus players back on the roster. There's, frankly, an incredible amount of work to do. One thing that did come in his favor, Zach Etheridge, the defensive backs coach, was a candidate for the Georgia job in a similar fashion, but he is staying at Auburn, so that will help them. But all in all, it was a extremely ugly look for Auburn and how this came off. And the real problem with this is this same thing or something similar, because you've still got the same meddling board of trustees and boosters involved, could very easily be happening again. This is May, could be happening again by the end of November.
Yeah, it's going to be something to follow, most definitely. Another one of the big headlines regarding the SEC is the revenue numbers were released on Thursday. The SEC revenue rose to $777.8 million during the 2020 to 2021 fiscal year, up from $120-ish million from the previous year. Each school getting about $54.5 million. Is this something that I feel like as we progress, like from I was born in 1995, so I'm thinking even 26 years ago, I don't think people realized that or even thought that the money would get this big in regards to college sports. I mean, the SEC made nearly $1 billion in revenue in one fiscal year. I think that's just absolutely incredible.
Well, it's just typical SEC. Listen, I remember when they, when everybody made about $4 million, $4 million per school, and people thought that was ludicrous back then. One of the real notes on this that are just amazing: the number does not include the additional $23 million the league gave out to its schools to mitigate the COVID financial losses. Now, get this. In all, SEC schools got about $77 million. Only 53 Division I schools have a total athletic budget of $77 million.
That's ridiculous. That's insane. I can't. I think that's the only way to describe. I mean, and yep. To think about it too, the revenue is likely only going to grow from here. Correct? I mean, with the additions of Oklahoma and Texas, and if you're talking about brands, they are really big brands beyond just college football.
Well, and then you add what they will get from the expanded playoffs. I mean, you're looking now at $77 million. It won't be long from now when they will be making. It's coming when they'll be making $100 million a year,
and the conference will be making over $1 billion. Then in that case, which is just
correct.
Absolutely ridiculous to even think about. But you know, and this is again. The total distribution of revenue comes from TV contracts, postseason football, the SEC championship game in football, conference basketball tournament, as well as championships as well. So, it's not like there's just one particular thing. But
absolutely. So but again, it's only going to go up at this point. And you're right; it's going to be amazing what you'll have added to this when Texas and Oklahoma come into the conference. The amusing thing about this is, Drew, is, and people wonder why no one will ever want to leave the SEC.
Yeah,
I mean, you think about this. Vanderbilt, which is one of the true underachieving athletic programs in the country, will it gets as much of this as anybody else does.
I think it's, yeah. And even with the other conference as well, these numbers are just staggeringly high. And again, as you said, Brent, likely to continue going up from here. Again, speaking with Brent Beard of First Coast News and co-host of the SEC and Helping podcast, does a variety of other things as well in covering the Southeastern Conference. We're going to jump into hoops now to wrap things up. Auburn at number two. Gonzaga, I believe, takes over the number one spot after Auburn ended up dropping the game to Arkansas. Kentucky is fourth, but now we've got five SEC teams in the top 25, and LSU is right on the doorstep of that. Alabama are a team, Brent. They're 16-9. I would say in all likelihood they're going to get in, but just because their resume is so good with beating the teams that they did in non-conference play. But how questionable are the Crimson Tide, LSU, and even Arkansas as well, who have had some up and down moments?
Well, Alabama's in easy, and people say, "Well, how is that possible?" Well, Bama's 500 in the conference. They're 16-9. Alabama's number one in the country in strength of schedule. Well, I can guarantee you, if they're anywhere around 500 in the league, Alabama will be in, and they will be a fairly high seed because the committee is not going to penalize someone because they, in other words, if you've got a strength of schedule and you play the teams they do, they will be rewarded for that. LSU has gotten on a little bit more of a win streak. They're 6-6, 18-7 right now. Arkansas is in good shape. I mean, even with the loss to Alabama, 1 point to Tuscaloosa, I mean, Arkansas is still 8-4 and 19-6. So they're on the verge of 20 easily. Big game tomorrow night, Kentucky at Tennessee. So at 9 o'clock Eastern time. So folks will, I think, be very interested in that. So right now, Drew, you've easily got Auburn, Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas. That's four. LSU's five. Alabama would be six. Now, Florida's 500 themselves, and that would be, just for the sake of time here, that would be seven. And then now on from there, you've got, Mississippi State's got work to do. Now, Mississippi State plays Bama Wednesday, so watch out with that game. So I'm going to say easily you've got three, four, five, six, seven. There are seven teams in already. What goes after that would be whoever gets hot at the end of the season or the SEC tournament.
And it almost seems as if something crazy is bound to happen because it will be March and chaos always seems to happen. If you were to pick one team from the SEC that you think has got a chance to win the whole thing, obviously Auburn is there, but if you were to take Auburn, Kentucky, Tennessee, any one of those teams, which one would you ride with given what you've seen so far this season?
Oh, Kentucky. Kentucky, with their length, would be really hard. Let me say this, this is a bit of a bold statement. When Kentucky is healthy, they may be better than Auburn.
Yeah. And I think that's in they're the hotter of the two, I would say, coming into at least today. They've won six in a row, undefeated at home. Away, they've got a little worse of a record than Auburn, but really that is the difference. I mean, they're just one game back in terms of conference play. So, and again, it's not necessarily how good you are, it's how hot you are going into
it is.
The NCAA tournament.
There's some doubt about that. And you've got and then the rest of, I mean, we've got two more weeks in February, and then we've got March before you get to the tournament. So still a lot of basketball being left to play. And basically anything at this point it could happen. But, again, I think your top seven here are playing for seeds at this point. But listen, keep your eye on Florida. You really never know what's going to happen with them. Castleton being back is huge. But will they finish strong, or will they have another Mike White year to where they end up barely getting in and being one and done, or done in the beginning? So Florida is one team that really needs a good year this year.
Yeah, three out of their last six games come against Auburn, Arkansas, and Kentucky. All of those do happen to be at home, but a little bit of some tough competition in their final six games. He's Brent Beard. Appreciate you always, Brent. You have a good rest of the week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Good. Take care, bud.